We'll date the tape while we're waiting for Commander to join us. Today is the 19th of August, 1997.
See if we can go. We're not in good shape today. I come in the light of God. And I want to make that very clear. Because one cannot possibly relate to anyone of God's troopers, if you will, serving so integrally with business. This has been perpetuated by your religious organizations to separate anything moral and godly from state business. And we almost had to cancel this morning, but I knew that we would have the people here that we need to share some of these things with. It'll bring a little bit of insight into the problems that we are faced with from the time we get up in the morning until we get up the next morning. Only the sets of circumstances change. Things have to be done by human hands. I can make a lot of arrangements. I can meet with and confer with and literally make decisions. But all of those physical things must be signed, shipped, correspondence exchanged, and right now it's all over this world. So the headaches don't stop all day long and in through the night. Because of the ones we're doing the most important business with, my word, they're either in the Philippines, China, or they're over in Greece and South Africa, where the middle of their day is the middle of your night. And it's one hassle after another trying to allow people to understand, and then they'll say, oh, I understand. They have the vaguest idea what they just said. And how do you know that? Because these transactions will get further and further and further down the road. And guess what? The final sets of documents come and they demand ridiculous things that you said the very first call you would not do. Whether anybody in this world understands it or not, I'm going to put it on this record. These documents, our transactions, these funding procedures, our projects have all been thoroughly examined by the Treasury Department. Our agreement is with the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve that we will not do more than use collateral documents. We will not lodge a demand for pay from your Treasury Department. Your Treasury Department is bankrupt, has no money. If it all flows into the Federal Reserve, they don't have enough money. It will instantly collapse your economy. Instantly. So it isn't wise for anyone to go in and annoy Mr. Monk at the Treasury Department. There's nothing he can do except to say, we have an agreement that these would not be lodged. Well, that's sort of an offhanded confirmation, but I'm telling you, you blow yourselves out of the water all the time by not knowing what you're doing. And the next thing that we have to confront is, well, go ask E.J. and Doris. They always know. And if they don't, Commander will tell them. It takes the same amount of time, doesn't it? People are not interested until it looks like somebody else is going to do something. And now we all want to do it. But we, none of us, have bothered to even remotely know what we're talking about. And I'm talking to the choir here. Attorneys don't seem to be able to get ready for court either. You hire attorneys, you pay attorneys handsomely for every cotton picking minute and quarter, 10 seconds that they're on the phone, they'll bill you for. And they'll bill you in 15-minute increments. But do you think they're ever ready for court? No. Now you've got to go and do the case for them. Let's see, what is this case about? Good grief. No wonder my people are tired. These two Eckers have got to get out of here by 3 o'clock, packed, ready to go through Sunday. Because, you see, when you wrap up one case, you got to meet all weekend now to do the next one. And Carson City's a long way away. So I'm going to have to get us out of here this morning. And you're going to have to bear with us while we talk business. Serious, serious business. The meeting that was to be held yesterday in South Africa with the funding, with the government actually, got postponed until today, which is just as well for us. Because they're talking about millions of dollars in cash. Cash transactions. You can easily get cash transactions completed into South Africa, but Africa will not allow any of these investments to be moved out of Africa. And this was talked about a little bit yesterday, but I assume we're on the record, so I would just remind everybody that this is what that was about. The person involved handles Federal Reserve money all over the cotton picking globe. He ships security. He is the major handler for the Federal Reserve System globally. Has an airline devoted to nothing but this business. And that's only a tiny, tiny portion of what the man actually does. So he is run even more ragged than are we. And he is hounded absolutely every moment of his day and night. So, yes, conduits have been set up. This is not that kind of money. This is money brought out of Hong Kong before it reverted and was frozen in the banks. But you have a lot of cash, see, and it's very difficult to handle this. So the phone lines, you know, glow red day and night. Nobody gets any rest trying to get something concluded. So there may be more news, if they can find Ecker, tonight. Boy, these court cases and life get in the way while these magnificent plans have to be set aside on hold. And it's not acceptable. But neither can I tell you what to do about it. When a court orders you to court, you better be there, or you're not only going to lose the case, you're going to lose your ass and your freedom. We have another one, a major one. It's all the way across the world into the Philippines. Is it valid? Could it be valid? Is anything real out of the Philippines? Not very much. But you will hear. And I'm not going to tell you who, but I think you're going to be able to discern possibilities, at least, because I'm going to ask EJ and or Rick, or taking turns, we're going to have to go over these documents because we have to respond to them. And there have been phone calls back and forth all morning. Oh, no, they understand, and they don't need this, and they don't need that. And, yes, we personally know this one and that one, and it's okay. But the papers do not reflect it. They come back over. We need to confirm this, 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 and this. And because of the need to be separated during these next few days, I'm going to personally appoint Mr. Ecker as president of Inter-American simply to get paperwork done. Charles has handled that right up to now, and yet we're going to have to probably fax paperwork to the moon and back over the next couple of days. So just assume I'm CEO. Just assume I'm CEO of everything. These silly games just bog us down. One of our Canadian friends is very deeply involved in this. We were working with someone who actually literally knew the assets of the former president of, I guess, South Korea. I don't know. He walked out of there with billions of dollars. And the world knew it. He got away with it. So they wanted to utilize this conduit to be able to fund a major, major, major restructuring of Manila, because he was going to get his security and safety over in Manila, and he had planted an awful lot of the assets over there and in Taiwan. Well, Taiwan's not going to be safe anymore now that China has Hong Kong, and a lot of his assets are also in Hong Kong. But they were working with this, and they could take a couple, maybe four. Well, let's see, it would be more like $8 billion. They could turn it into $200 billion through their banking asset paperwork. That was going to be the amount they needed to build an entire new Manila and Subic Bay area. It would be on the grandest scale imaginable. You see, after you thieve all this money, you got to do something with it. Well, that's what they have chosen to do. So that drags, and then personalities get involved, and they say, oh, well, we could use some of those assets for rollover in trading programs. Fine, you do that right after you get something accomplished here. Oh. So you quit hearing from them. All the while, little things are coming back to you. You know they're working just diligently getting them accomplished on a personal level. Well, that's just fine, except that that was not the original agreement. So that one sits. But it sits now with people from Brazil, Chile, all the way up the South American coast. Any offshore facility, they are trying to get to fund some of these things and not have to go through the Rothschilds banks. Well, that's fine. The people we're now working with own their own banks. And that's what it should have happened in the first place. But we have uninformed people trying to be the go-between. You know, the question comes from a Canadian yet. Well, we've got 16 banks to choose from. And then for international something or other, whatever, I don't know why in the world you need international something or other or whatever, we could use this Barclays Bank. I don't know who owns Barclays Bank. Oh, wow. Great Britain, England owns Barclays Bank. So that's not such a hot deal, is it? But this person has personal contact with the very parties that have the assets to hand them over, like this afternoon. That isn't likely to happen, but they certainly could if they had all of their paperwork in order. They think they can do it easily by the 28th. And that might just allow us to survive, mightn't it? So here you have 20 carrots out here dangling right in front of your nose, trying to sort the garden, pull the weeds, without pulling up the carrots. So we're just going to have to suffer through some of these papers because they're waiting for an answer now, right now. And maybe the best approach, PJ, would be to read the last 4 or 5 pages that you finally did so that they could understand enough to move on. And we'll just put it on the record and we'll just share it here. We're not going to go into some business conference. But if there is something you hear that you cannot, under any circumstances, understand, no matter if you had an hour with the man, then we maybe should stop and look at it. But nobody's had trouble with the document. Nobody. It's all the ones who work around individuals that are trying to earn their salary. And that always means let's change something so they know I'm alive. I have to make an impact, so I'm going to see to it that this has changed. Or, oh, they haven't covered this, so I must protect. We're way beyond protecting. We're playing in the elite game. And we are their adversary, and they don't like it. Because we are creeping up on them, and there is nothing they can do about it. And we're not going to start today allowing them to be able to do something about it. So, EJ, read that document.
It's dated August the 4th, addressed to whom it may concern. Inter-American Investment Corporation offers hereby to furnish collateral for a self-liquidating loan in a joint undertaking with a qualified entity, i.e., a government, central bank, a cash-rich corporation, or a very wealthy individual. Due to the nature of the underlying security, the total proceeds of the loan will be divided 48% to the qualifying entity and all of its agents, 52% to IASC, and its antecedents. A further requirement is that, even though the collateral is United States Treasury debt, the lending entity, if different than the qualifying entity, must agree not to claim against the Treasury without the express written consent of IAIC. Finally, the proceeds of the loan must be used for humanitarian purposes and not for any war-related activity. The phrase self-liquidating loan above may require some explanation, perhaps by an example. If we suppose the collateral made available by Inter-American was valued at $100 million, which the qualifying entity placed with its cooperating bank, the lending entity, as collateral for a loan of $100 million, the qualifying entity would take $48 million and Inter-American would take $52 million. If the interest on the loan were payable monthly, and neither the qualifying entity or Inter-American paid the interest due, the bank would foreclose on the collateral, thus becoming the owner thereof. In the world of fractional banking, such an asset increases the bank's lending ceiling by some 20-plus times. In this example, some $2 billion. It would not be necessary for the bank to enter a claim against the U.S. Treasury. Even if the bank netted only 5% on its loans, it could recover its $100 million in a year, and as much each year thereafter, with no further risk. If we can agree that a valid debt of the United States is good collateral, we can move ahead to structure a transaction. If there is concern that the U.S. might repudiate its debt, there is no further basis for discussion.
And there you have exactly what seems to be missing in this equation, DJ. If you assume that it is a Treasury debt, then you can do these other things. Well, that is going to come down and make could give cause for them to want to get that confirmed by the U.S. Treasury Department. But that's not really what they actually want. So be very careful in responding to these particular things. If it is waged against, or even lodged against, it shows as a debt, and that is going to have to come before Congress at some point. So they always demand that they have plausible denial opportunity. So this is a reason you don't go in. And now I'm going to tell you the major reason that we are going to have to demand that our strategy be utilized and not theirs. I, Yorgos Seres Hatton, have given my word and agreement that we would do nothing to cause an immediate collapse of the United States of America. And we will not budge an iota from that. Now, we are farther along in this trail. And what happens? V.K. Durham goes berserk. Goes berserk. And that's because the pressures are so far and so hard on her that she doesn't even longer know what she's doing. So she gets a burr under her saddle, and we're going to cancel everything, we're going to all this. Well, the long and the short of it is, I have had to confront these people and say she will not be a part of these transactions. She has nothing to do with these transactions. Everybody hear me. She originally has the asset on paper that nobody under the sun will or should honor in their state of confusion. Russell Herman worked with George Bush, and they built this little document. VK fell heir to it. And even if that came to the government court, the world court, she would not be awarded custody of it. So how do you maintain the value established when all of the elite and the bankers of the world want to bury this thing? Well, they cannot bury this thing. And the reason they can't bury this thing is that they have continued to use it. I can't tell those people, you know, in the Philippines, well, go ask Bush. He just used it last week over in Taiwan. What are we talking about here? So I made an agreement. And boy, it didn't please anybody. But my agreement was we would back off and leave V.K. Durham absolutely out of the loop. The powers that be, in human form, said we cannot, will not, ever work with that woman. And yet she's still writing to all the senators and all of these things, and she's got her new plans and her old plans. So we have set up, I don't remember what you call it, a working trust. Give me a word, EJ.
Wish I had one.
What kind of a trust are we talking about?
Constructive.
Constructive. Thank you, Rick. And we've done that. We have formed a full corporation, Durham Associates, so that any amount of her share that ever passes its way goes into that corporation. But she's got to keep her hands out of everything else, most especially the negotiations. And she won't do it. The minute she finds out somebody is working, she's on that phone, and she is telling them how it's going to be. And it just blew apart. So I agreed that these things would be done. They've been done, and now we can move on. So go ahead with your reading.
that this debt is a valid debt of not only the U.S., but also of the Federal Reserve System, a private banking corporation, is very well documented. However, any attempt to verify the debt with either the Treasury or Fed will be met with plausible denial. We can say without qualification that any qualifying entity or lending entity who insists upon making such inquiries cannot be given further consideration. After we have been shown certain qualifications on the part of interested qualifying entities or lending entities, we can furnish appropriate confirming documentation. As an introduction, however, we believe a general history and background of the collateral, in the form of a narrative, should be furnished at this time. In the mid-1800s, the most effective fertilizer was bat guano, and the best bat guano was found in Peru. Shiploads were taken to Europe and the United States. Peru needed capital to expand its guano mining, transportation, and shipping facilities, and arranged with its agent in New York City, Hobson, Hurtado, and Company, to create and sell 3,600 $1,000 bearer bonds, which were redeemable in gold. These bonds were authorized by the Peruvian government May 1, 1875. The rate of their coupon interest was 7%, to be paid semi-annually, and they were scheduled to be redeemed by the end of 10 years. President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, in 1905, asked Congress to authorize the assumption of the debt of Peru and some other South American countries, pursuant to the Monroe Doctrine, to avoid war with some European countries who were attempting to foreclose on certain properties and natural resources. Roosevelt made rather a stirring speech to Congress December the 5th, 1905, and received the authorization in 1906. Those bonds that were still outstanding thus became a debt of the U.S. Treasury. In 1913, the U.S. Congress enacted the Federal Reserve Act, authorizing a private corporation to issue the currency of the U.S. As a part of the Federal Reserve Act, all of the debt of the United States was assumed by the Fed. Thus, all U.S. debt prior to 1913, among which we find the unredeemed gold-backed Peruvian bond, is guaranteed by the Fed. Before becoming Vice President and President of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush was Director of the CIA. One of the highest-ranking operatives who became a close friend of Bush was Russell Herman. Herman's partner, V.K. Durham, claims to have discovered the bond in an old Bible. Regardless of how they came by it, they were in possession of a Peruvian bond issued in 1875, which was called Bonus 3392-181. Herman and Durham, along with Bush, Baker, and Benson, the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, and probably others, had the interest on the bond calculated at the Federal Reserve in Los Angeles for each year to May the 1st, 1990. Due to the penalty of interest to be imposed at the rate of 44% after the bond's due date in 1885, and the fact that the gold was priced at more than $400 per ounce, the computation to May 1990 came to, I can't even read it, it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times 3 digits. So it is 200 million billion trillion or something like that. It's a whole bunch.
No wonder she called it gazillion.
Right.
Quintillion.
Lloyd Benson, as Secretary of Treasury, confirmed in a letter addressed to President George Bush that Bonus 3392 was indeed a legitimate debt of the United States. No copy of that letter has yet been obtained, but all of those players are still alive. Meaning, most of those kinds of things show up after somebody dies. In early 1989, the bearer bond In early 1989, the bearer bond, bonus 3392, was stolen from Herman Derm, so they had it replaced with one of identifiable ownership, in other words, not a bearer bond. By international order number 7309, document 046, dated August 21, 1989, at the Peruvian consulate in Los Angeles.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you again, because I want you to realize that Bush Bunch was playing the same game, actually, that Horton and Tootin and Green are playing. They went to Del Papa, who was Secretary of State in Nevada, and they said, no, we own that corporation. And, I mean, being a good public servant, she said, oh, okay, and reissued to Cosmos the entire property of Cosmos Seafood Energy. You see, they put that name on it so nobody would get it. But now Bush was having to get back what he had already structured. And I'm using Bush in a general term because I named them yesterday. There is James Baker III, Benson, and now Rubin's involved. But Ollie North, Powell, Schwarzkopf, you name it, they're all involved now to keep that thing valid. So in they went to the state of Nevada and stole the corporation and called it Cosmos, which then could be explained away as, oh, well, we don't see any point in putting Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing. We want something we can legally handle in one word. So they transferred all this stuff, supposedly, in the Cosmos Seafood Company. Only Russell Herman found out. And he said, the hell you will. And at that time, they were going to give, I don't know, $43 billion or more to Hussein, Saddam, their beloved friend. And this is the way that they managed to take it. Now, in talking with Al Martin, CIA operative agent with whom you're familiar, because Rick has done interviews with him, Al came back and said, oh, it's been reconfirmed, all right, but it's not those people you think. In other words, these buzzards have gone in and they have reconfirmed this false document. Because banks were closing. It was time. The amount of time had run and the promises could not be made. The signatures were invalid. Wow. So they go to work on... It was really nice because Al Martin was at cross odds with the Bush boys. He had really come to blows. They hadn't paid him for his criminal work. So he was going to tell the world about these bad boys. Well, suddenly, he was excommunicated. There were no records of anything Al Martin had ever done in his life. Well, now he had some leverage of his own. And here's where we go. And he would never tell you different. I was mad over the money. I expect to get it. So when we came dancing through the picture, he gets in touch with Bush, and they began to talk. And pretty soon, within days, his record was being totally replaced and cleaned up. So he ends up in good standing. But that was an amazing piece of information. They have at least tried to separately get that reconfirmation done. And this is why it has been so hard on all of you that they want to take everybody out that can witness to this, because the valid documents have been registered publicly through clerk's offices and through the federal court. It has been registered there. I wouldn't bet a penny that it is still there. But in the little Illinois court, it's all there. And you can't kill everybody in Illinois. It's not nice. So go ahead. You're going to possibly run into that. on the other hand, see, this has allowed them to continue to use it. And they've had to utilize that same bonus number.
In early 1989, the bearer bond bonus 3392 was stolen from Herman Durham, so they had it replaced with one of identifiable ownership by International Order Number 7309, Document 046, dated August the 21st, 1989, at the Peruvian Consulate in Los Angeles. The ownership was apparently placed in a Nevada corporation named Cosmos Seafood Energy Marketing Limited. Later, August the 1st, 1994, title was transferred to Russell and Durham. In September-October of 1989, Bush and Company requested the release, by contract, of $35 trillion of the accrued interest for their then-friend, Saddam Hussein, to be used in his agricultural programs. One of the stipulations required by Herman Durham was that none of the accrued interest was to be used for making war, etc., nor to, quote, any practice which was contrary to the provisos of the people of the United States of America and the international community. Herman Durham denied the request for the $35 trillion, which created a falling out with Bush and Company. During the following 5 years, Herman was kidnapped, tortured, placed in a veterans hospital, after being given a cancer-causing dose of radiation, and died in September 1994. He refused to sign over the title to the bond, knowing that Durham would never do so. To some extent, it is apparent that Bush and Company have used the accrued interest, calling it the Superfund. They have acquired a lot of oil and gold properties far beyond what a casual observer might expect. It doesn't require a lot of imagination to see the possibility of a competition going on between the Bush Group and the International Banking Group headed by Rothschilds, since it would appear that all claims against the interest accrual ultimately fall to the latter group. At the same time, it doesn't seem all that smart that the latter group takes such a negative view of our contracts. It would seem that, since it is their money in the end, they might better rethink the benefits of becoming involved on our side of the equation. When Herman died in 1994, his will left approximately one-half of his one-half of the accrued interest to the American people, the other half to Durham. Thus, Durham owns some 75% of the accrued interest, which is now even greater than it was calculated by the Fed to be in 1990. To our knowledge, Durham has granted no other contracts than ours. Ours were granted primarily due to the friendship of our associate, Rick Martin, with both Herman and Durham over several years, as well as for Mr. Martin's personal and professional assistance to Durham since Herman's death. While the five $10 billion contracts issued by Durham were first issued to Hellenic Express International, two of them have been subsequently issued to Inter-American Investment Corporation by Hellenic, and Inter-American will issue contracts in a variety of denominations appropriate to the needs of particular qualifying entities and or lending entities. Neither Hellenic nor Inter-American will offer exclusive or long-term authority to represent themselves, and a power of attorney will not be granted prior to the final phases of negotiation. We are honest people and do not enjoy being taken advantage of by unscrupulous people. In summary, let us suggest that to get a correct perception of how these contracts can best be used, they should be treated as if they were 30-year treasury bonds with an addendum attached requiring that they bear no interest and cannot be offered back to treasury during their term. As a treasury debt, they are best used as collateral for loans and lines of credit, but they can also be sold or traded in private transactions. And as time goes on, the Arthur Andersons, the CPAs of the world, will no doubt recognize them as enhancements to any balance sheet. For example, suppose a large offshore corporation required some additional liquidity to make an acquisition worth some $400 million. it could take in a $1 billion contract and, using a board resolution to accept it as an asset of the corporation with a simultaneous liability of $520 million, show an immediate enhancement of $480 million, less expenses, to its balance sheet. Using letters of credit, the $522 million can be paid out over time, in this case to Inter-American, without the slightest negative effect on its own credit. One final remark. An understanding banker as a business partner is the ultimate assistant in realizing the greatest benefit from these contracts.